The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, did you get a chance to sample that huge cinnamon? I don't know, you know, it's really bigger than what you would call a cinnamon roll. It looked like a cinnamon bun cake.
It looked like a cake, indeed.
And you got a nice healthy slice.
I did indeed, and it's sitting over on the counter behind me.
Yes.
Just waiting impatiently.
Well, I thought maybe you'd already had it before the show because, you know, that fuels us up with a lot of sugar, right, to get through the hour.
I know, but, you know, if you save these things,
of course,
you
can save it for after the show.
Save it and
savor
it. Yeah.
It is Friday, December the 8th, 2017. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI. Our program on Friday does re-air from 7 to 8 Saturday morning, so if you're up and about, you can hear our re-airing of the Friday Focus interview and our Friday Roundtable. That'll come up on Saturday morning. Fridays, we do like to do a media partner shout-out. This is a thank you to people in the media who support our program by prominently displaying our logo, which makes it easy for their readers then to just click on the Buckmaster Show logo, and they can then have access to all of our programs, which have been pretty much archived over 7 years. TucsonSentinel.com, Dylan Smith. Thank you, Dylan. As I look through you on the other side of the glass, Dylan will be with us coming up on the roundtable at 12:30. Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Thanks to Mr. Dan Shear, who's with me in studio. Dan, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Tucson Media Group supports us. Tucson Weekly, Inside Tucson Business Explorer, Marana News, Foothills News, and Desert News. Also thanks to Southern Arizona News Examiner and the Three Sonorans. Our Friday Focus interview today, Farhad Mogimi is with us. Mr. Mogimi is the Executive Director of the Pima Association of Governments, known as PAG, and Regional Transportation Authority, the RTA. Farhad, thanks for being with us. Good to see you.
Good seeing you. Thank you for having me on the show.
And joining in the discussion is Dan Shear, the editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. What is the latest? The RTA was approved in 2006, so we had the 10-year anniversary. So we're now on the back 10 years, the second half of the program. How would you characterize where we are with the plan?
Yes, as you said, back in 2006, the plan was approved. And since then, we've been able to invest over $1 billion of the funding that was available to us through the RTA tax, as well as being able to identify additional categorical projects. So total number of projects are over 800 projects that we've been able to complete to date. We have a little bit over 8 years of the program left. The program expires in 2026.
And how has the economy, the timing for this helped in getting the biggest, as they say, bang for the buck?
Well, the timing was obviously, as you all know, 2008 time frame with the Great Recession. It was great timing for us to be able to secure the funding and be able to deliver projects since then. We've been seeing, on the average, I would say, we've been seeing over almost 17% of savings. The bids have been very competitive. Obviously, the construction industry out there was very willing to kind of sharpen their pencil and be able to deliver those projects. And we've been able to enjoy some of those savings. And at the same time, obviously, on the revenue side, our revenues have been coming in lower than what we anticipated. So we've been able to balance our funding with the cost savings, as well as being able to bring some additional regional funds to the table to deliver our projects.
Yeah, because when this was passed, you had to kind of foresee what you thought the tax revenue was going to be. I mean, there was some crystal ball gazing
exactly.
there, really.
Exactly.
And having to kind of juggle figuring out how the tax picture would look. So adjustments had to be made, obviously, because we're 11 years into this thing.
Exactly. Yeah. So at the time, in 2005 timeframe, that's when estimates were being made and the projections on the revenue side. Obviously, there was a little bit more of an optimistic growth rate that was anticipated at the time. We're doing really well. We're starting to recover. We're growing at about 4%. So I think that the impact of the Great Recession is behind us, but now we're looking for a healthier recovery.
Dan?
Overall, do you expect to hit that number, which I believe was $2.1 billion through the 20 years of the program? Do you think you're going to end up having that much money come in? And if you had to scale back because of drop in revenue, what was lost? Or is this a constant ongoing changing process here?
So, thanks for that. It is a constant ongoing. Obviously, we have a 20-year plan with named projects. Those named projects total to roughly $1.1 billion. Currently, we're estimating with the RTA revenue as well as with additional regional funds that are state and federal revenues, we're estimating that we'll have closer to that $1.9 or even $2 billion worth of revenue. So on the expenditure side, obviously, we just have to manage our budgets, make sure that we're able to deliver those projects within budget. As I mentioned earlier, the cost estimates have been a little bit lower, so that's been helping a little bit as well on the expenditure side to make sure that our expenses are being managed really well. Overall, going back to the last part of your question, overall there was roughly I would say close to $300 million worth of categorical funds in the plan that were yet to be identified and determine priorities for the region. So those are the ones that we're managing really well, make sure that we get the most bang for the buck. So we promised, for example, that we're going to do 80 hawk crossings. So we're going to still be able to deliver 80 crossings, but at a lower cost because of some of the savings and being able to manage the budget. So I think at the end of the plan, we'll deliver everything we said we're going to deliver, but with less money.
How did the audit come out? I know at the midway point of the program, there was this outside audit that really took a look at the first 10 years and how the money is being spent. What was the bottom line to the audit, and did they make any recommendations?
The audit was very positive. As you said, it was required by the state legislation 10 years into the program to take a look at the performance review of the program, make sure that we're delivering on time and within budget. And that was the conclusion of the audit, that all projects are being delivered on time and under budget. They had some operational recommendations for best practices for project management, for example, and being able to report that progress out to the public. So the recommendations are relatively opportunities for enhancements, which we're working on currently. And then we'll have another review in 5 years from now. That's when that we would come back and take a look at what do we want to do moving forward beyond the 5 years.
What would you say the big signature projects were during that first 10-year period, and where are we now? Some of the big projects.
Yeah, there are quite a few of them. Twin Peaks interchange at I-10 and Twin Peaks, that was one of the early projects that was completed. Very successful. You can see as a result of that, it actually reduces some commute time from some of the folks east of I-10, being able to have easier access from that area to I-10. So that was one of the bigger projects. Currently, we have INA traffic interchange under construction. That's another big project that's currently under construction. Obviously, the streetcar was one of the earlier projects that's been operational here, and it's been very successful as far as providing opportunities for economic development in the downtown area. And
people forget that was in the plan originally. I mean, it's like the streetcar, it feels like it's been with us a long time, but really when this program was announced and approved by the voters, it didn't exist.
That's correct. That was correct. That was in the RTA plan.
Right, and again, in the RTA plan.
It did take a lot of effort to be able to deliver the project, but again, you can see the results of it. It's been bringing additional private investment into the downtown area, and I think hopefully everybody will reap the benefit of that.
Dan, you want to join in here?
Yeah, the half-cent sales tax expires in 2026, but my guess is that the RTA is going to make a pitch to continue. If it does go beyond that and you get voter approval, would the basic plan of what you're doing, would it change much going forward? Is there another 20 years worth of projects that need to be done in this area? How are you going to sell this to voters in a few years?
Sure. So we're required by the federal government to have a 30-year plan. The 30-year plan exactly looks at what you just mentioned, that what are some future needs for the region and how we're going to pay for it. As part of that exercise, back in 2016, we finalized our long-range plan. In that long-range plan, we identified over $17 billion worth of projects in the 30-year horizon that the region needs to invest in. As part of that process, obviously, we look at anticipated revenues, where the revenues are going to come from to be able to have a fiscally constrained plan. So we anticipated that the sales tax for the RTA will continue for another 20 years to be able to meet the needs of that plan currently. Again, obviously moving forward, that's up to the voters, and we'll have a new plan and a ballot initiative for continuation of the tax as well.
See if we can work in a call here before the break. It is break time, but I don't want to keep the caller on hold through the break. And the caller is our friend Jim Kelly, I believe. Hey, Jim, you're with Farhad Mogimi.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Farhad. As part of the 30-year RTA plan, is the extension of the streetcar to the airport part of that plan?
Hi, Jim. Thanks for the question. No, the RTA plan only looked at the current alignment for the current streetcar. There was no additional extension planned in the current RTA plan.
Well, the only way we're going to make the streetcar pay for itself is to get more riders and extend its range. Is that on the board? Is that in discussion?
Again, obviously, as part of the ongoing discussions, I think there are a lot of people that have been looking at potential extensions of the streetcar. And again, as you mentioned, funding for that, both for the capital funding as well as for operational, those are things that we have to look at and include in some potential plan in the future.
We'll take our break right here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview today about transportation. The RTA is the topic, but we would entertain also topics about Pima Association of Government and air quality. That's also in your portfolio, isn't
That's
it,
correct.
Farhad?
That's correct.
All right. We'll be right back on Buckmaster. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
It's the most wonderful time of the year at Reed Park Zoo. Tucson's favorite tradition, Zoo Lights, presented by Tucson Electric Power. Enjoy the falling snow and live music as you stroll through the zoo with twinkling lights. Visit Santa at the Reed Park Zoo from December 7th through the 23rd from 6 to 8 p.m. Plus encore nights 6 to 8 December 26th through the 30th. For tickets and more, visit reedparkzoo.org or stop by Metro PCS for your discounted Zoo Lights coupon.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, before using your mobile device to research and make purchases, update apps and operating systems. Second tip, public Wi-Fi is vulnerable to thieves and fraudsters looking to steal your info, so avoid using apps that access sensitive information. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit bbb.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, plus our Arizona Water Quarterly Report and year-end tax tips with CPA Michael C. Flowers. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and our worldwide live listening, all the podcasts in the archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Farhad Moghimi. Mr. Moghimi is the Executive Director of the Pima Association of Governments. It's known as PAG and the RTA. That's the Regional Transportation Authority. Putting on your PAG hat for a while, Farhad, you have water quality and air quality as part of the portfolio. Overall, has air quality been okay in 2017?
Yes, we're doing really well. We're in compliance on the air quality aspects. Again, as an air quality planning agency, we monitor all the regulations and make sure that we're in compliance. And the good news is, yes, we are.
Compared to our friends up in Phoenix who have really struggled.
Yeah. Yes, and unfortunately, again, depending on how often you drive up there, you can tell the difference just visually.
Going back to some of the RTA projects, I want to expand a little bit about what's coming up. Could you talk about the marquee projects that may have just started or are going to be starting, please?
Yeah, so as I mentioned earlier, we got the INA I-10 traffic interchange currently under construction. That's a big project. We are anticipating to have several projects out to bid relatively soon this coming spring. Downtown Links, the final phase of Downtown Links, is one of those projects. We're looking at having the La Cholla project out for bid. Also, Broadway, Camino Seco to Halton on the east side of town. We're hoping that we can have that one out to bid here shortly. Utility relocations are currently underway. Over down by Valencia and Kolb, we're looking at reconstructing the intersection and the realignment of Valencia. So those are some major projects that are coming up that are going to be out to bid here, hopefully within the next 3 to 6 months.
I know people do complain on a local level about some of the roads, but it seems like the complaining is quite a bit less than I recall 10 years ago when we were really having a difficult situation. But with the RTA, and then the city of Phoenix has been fortunate enough to get some programs passed through voter initiatives. So overall, when you think back to when the RTA started, how would you kind of characterize the condition of our roads?
Yeah, so obviously the conditions, I think, have improved quite a bit, especially when it comes to the maintenance side, as you mentioned, with the city being able to have the bond back in 2012 and now recently with the sales tax. That's definitely helping on the maintenance side. On the side of mobility and providing additional capacity and making sure the connections are well planned on the RTA side, I think, again, over $1 billion worth of investments in our community, and you can see the difference. The most obvious ones are obviously the ones that make those connections that we didn't have before, and we hear quite often from people that their commute time has been saved almost by 10 minutes in some cases. Colb Road extension is another good example of that, that we're really reducing congestion and reducing commute time.
And you employed a lot of people working on construction.
Yes, definitely. And again, construction industry folks, we hear from them continuously that the market was very tight during that time period. And if it wasn't because of RTA investments in the community, most of them would not have been able to survive.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Pima County's batting around a couple of plans to fix their roads. They okayed a property tax this past summer. They're looking at a sales tax. What would be your best advice for Pima County on how they can get their roads fixed quickly and efficiently?
Well, I think it's a kind of a general advice to most communities that we really need to have a dedicated source of funding to be able to keep up with our roadway maintenance. If we don't have a dedicated source of funding, unfortunately, as we've seen with the HERF funds at the state level, most of those funds over the last 10, 15 years have been used for supplementing DPS general fund expenditures. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but unfortunately what happens is that the trade-off was that we weren't able to get the HERF funds down here to be able to keep our roads and maintain the roads. Unfortunately, with the road maintenance, like any other capital investment, if you don't maintain them on a regular basis, the cost of maintenance in the future, once you defer that, is exponentially higher, and unfortunately that's the situation we're in right now.
Well, Pima County's been looking at a half-cent sales tax, and the RTA has been mentioned because it's a very successful program. It has a great track record. Under Steve Christie's plan, the RTA would actually be managing that half-cent sales tax, something you'd be interested in doing?
That's obviously completely up to the RTA, I'm sorry, to the Pima County Board of Supervisors. I know there's a lot of different plans on the table. There's a lot of discussions on that. From our perspective, obviously, again, it's identifying that funding source. Once they identify the funding source, I think that's really most of the concern that everybody has, that are we able to have the revenue to be able to meet some of those demands. As you mentioned, the property tax was only able to generate a small amount of revenue with the proposed sales tax. That's closer to $80 million. So that's a reasonable size of funding to be able to meet the demand over the next 10 years.
But the RTA was mentioned because, frankly, a lot of people have trust issues with Pima County as far as spending money. And again, you've got the track record there. Is that something you guys are willing to wade into if it comes to it?
I think we just have to wait and see until there's actually a plan, and hopefully there's a plan that's supported by the community as well as the Board of Supervisors.
You know, one thing that has helped me when I'm out driving around are these bus pullouts. People don't talk about it much, but before the RTA, that's been part of the program, building some of these bus pullouts. And I remember back in the day before we had the pullouts, one bus could make your trip across town a lot longer.
Yeah, and it's a safety concern as well. So, we have over 200 bus pullouts in the program, and we're on track to deliver even more than that, especially with some of the cost savings we had. Again, from a safety perspective, we're trying to eliminate some of that conflict. And from a delay perspective, congestion, creating some congestion in some areas, a two-lane road, there was a lot of time that was being essentially delayed for the traffic flow as well. So that's been eliminated.
And it's not that costly and time-consuming to do those bus pullouts, is it? In the overall
picture. Yeah, in overall picture, those are small, minor improvements that create some safety opportunities, yes.
How about bike lanes? Was that part of the plan?
Bike lanes were part of the plan, and we've been able to deliver the bike lanes on track as well. We have over 500 miles of bike lanes in the program and over 250 miles of sidewalks in the plan, and we're right on target.
All right, Dan, I've got about a minute and a half.
Briefly, if we can go back to Jim Kelly's question about the streetcar, what percentage of the operating costs right now are the taxpayers paying versus what the riders are paying?
Most transit operations have a target of cost recovery of 20% or higher. I believe the streetcar currently is under that 20%. So that's very standard for transit operations to hover around a 20% cost recovery.
So the taxpayers are paying about 80% right now of the operating cost of it, which amounts to how much money, and is that figure dropping every year?
I don't have the exact figure off the top of my head, but yes, 80% of the operations, and as the ridership increases, that number should be reduced.
And we have seen the ridership increase.
Yeah, the ridership, again, it's very seasonal, and as you see, as there's more growth, on both commercial as well as residential growth in the downtown area, the ridership will increase.
And then to Jim's point, if we don't expand the streetcar, how are we going to see more ridership?
Again, those are long-range planning issues that we have to analyze it and make sure that we have the land used to support those extensions. Similar to your question earlier, how do you increase ridership? You got to have the land use and the corridor that supports that ridership. So that's part of the planning process that we're going to undertake.
The company that made up in Portland that made the streetcar, are they still in business?
I'm not sure of that. But
so where are we getting our parts and everything? That is a concern, I'm sure.
Yeah. So obviously, again, anytime there's a demand, there's somebody who's willing to provide the parts and that. But that I'm not sure if they're still in business or not. I know there was a lot of other streetcars in other communities over the last 5 years or so that I'm sure they've been able to stay and sustain their business. But that demand obviously has slowed down.
And to what Dan was saying, and I am out of time, but it is pretty typical in big cities for transit not to completely pay for itself, isn't it?
That's why it's public transportation.
Farhad Moghimi, thank you very much. I hope you and your family have a wonderful holiday season. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. You as well.
Thanks a lot. Okay, 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show. Dylan Smith will join us, and there is no shortage of items to talk about, Dylan and Dan, as we get ready for our Friday roundtable. Take it away, Tom.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsu, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. The second half of the Friday program, which re-airs Saturday morning at 7, is devoted, largely devoted to what we call our Friday Roundtable. And Dylan Smith joins us. Dylan is the creator, editor, publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, which had a, last time I had you on the program, there was a match going on. It is your publication, your online service is a nonprofit. You had a match going on. Is that still going on, a dollar-for-dollar match?
Yeah, thank you very much for bringing
that
up.
And I did make a donation, by the way.
And thank you very much for that. You're welcome. And yeah, through the end of the year, there are a group of national foundations that are matching local donors' money that is given to TucsonSentinel.com. So, and a one-to-one match for every donation, we get up to $1,000 per person until December 31st.
You're not owned by like a big company like Gannett or anything like that.
No, nope, we are authentically local.
Dan Shear is with us. Dan is the editor of the Green Valley News and Sal Rita Sun. Did I get closer that way?
You're getting a lot better.
See, I'm dropping,
and I appreciate
in
it.
My mind, I dropped the H entirely, and I'm getting closer.
Just look at the Beatles. Instead of lovely Rita, it's sour Rita.
There you go.
Sour Rita. Or an old Chicago Cub player that I grew up with, Hank Sauer.
There you go.
That's
some
half of
folks
it.
May remember him.
Nobody remembers him.
No, I'm sure they don't. But Dad used to take me and we sat in the front row. Bill, shut up. Nobody cares. No, we sit in the front row. You care, probably, because you're a Cub fan.
Damn,
but we sat in, the outfield in the front row, and I remember talking to Mr. Sauer when I believe he played left field.
Nice.
Anyway, okay, Leah Marquez Peterson announcing that she will announce on December the 14th.
Kind of a pre-announcement.
And Ms. Marquez Peterson will be running as a Republican. And from what I'm hearing, she has the backing of a lot of local Republican so-called heavyweights, Dylan. So she's in, and Martha McSally obviously will have to make a decision, I assume, soon that she is no longer going to be running for CD2.
Yeah.
Where do we, you need, as you were saying before we went on, you need to make some kind of a grid of what happens here if this happens.
Yeah, not just down here with the CD2 race, really on both sides, because if, and what seems likely, that McSally won't seek re-election, that sort of changes the calculus of potential challengers on the Democratic side. We've also got what's going on up near Phoenix with Trent Franks resigning, the possibility that McCain might be have to resign, or God forbid, even worse, and we might see two Senate elections going on next year in Arizona. The pieces on the chessboard are,
it's going to give us something to talk about.
Everybody's moving things around, trying to figure out what might happen. But one of the big things we're looking for, waiting for, mm-hmm. is what seems to be the slowest campaign rollout in history.
Yeah, that's what you wrote about. You called it one of the slowest campaign rollouts in history. But obviously, Leah Marquez Peterson's been in consultation Martha McSally team. And
I asked Marquez Peterson if she would be running if McSally were seeking re-election, and she said, in somewhat couched language, that she is assuming that Martha McSally will run for the Senate, and that's why she's jumping in.
So I think here's the headline to take away from this,
what
Bill.
Is
and
this?
That is that ultimately the voters get to decide, but you don't get to decide who's on the ballot. All of that has been, there's been jockeying for weeks to hit. Some of the names that come up, you just kind of roll your eyes. Others make sense. Hers has been, Leah Marquez Peterson's has been out there for quite a while. And Martha McSally, we've know what's going to happen. We're just waiting for her to actually say it. But it's been very interesting. I think there's been no fewer than at least a half a dozen names, maybe even more, for this position down here. Throw in the Senate seat, Jeff Flake. We're talking probably a good 20 names that maybe legitimately could have run for these. So, but yeah, we choose in the end, but it's the political parties that are deciding, because you don't want to step on anybody's toes. And she most certainly would not have announced this last night without having talked to Martha McSally's campaign, obviously. And there's no way she would have run if Martha McSally was going to stay in that seat.
Would beggar belief to think that she would do that. Both of them are essentially from the same wing of the Republican Party. This
right.
isn't somebody who would be looking to run a primary challenge from the far right
that. Huge faux pas if she would have thought of even doing that without Martha leaving.
You wonder if there would be another challenger to Leah from perhaps the far right.
It's certainly a possibility.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now the Trent Franks.
That's interesting.
Yeah, that is. Where did that come from? The headline in TucsonSentinel.com, Trent Franks to resign over ethics probe into asking staffers to bear his child? That sounds like something that would be the headline from the National Enquirer.
It certainly raises an eyebrow.
But it was something that somebody kind of made up of some crazy. But it's apparently true.
Apparently,
I don't know.
Trent Franks and his wife have been unable to have a child.
Okay.
And in the past, they used a surrogate mother, had mm-hmm. a couple of twins. Well, actually, twins, not a couple of twins, because that would be four. And then tried it again, and that pregnancy ended in a miscarriage. And he broached the topic with his employees.
Whoa.
Which is really that's not something you ask people who work for you to do. I mean,
it takes this thing to a different level, doesn't it?
Demanding that someone fetch you a cup of coffee is maybe something that a member of Congress might do.
That's why we have interns.
It's
way too early, I think, to speculate a lot on this. This is what we know so far. We'll see going ahead what kind of rolls out after that. And as we know, the initial revelations on these things over the past few weeks have been very intriguing, but there tends to be far more. So is this the tip of the iceberg? We'll see.
Well, he's been there 18 years.
No.
That the timeline on
terms.
It is curious. That
16 years?
The Speaker of the House, Paul Ryan, found out about this immediately, pretty much after looking into it for a day, sent it to the Ethics Committee. And before that committee had a chance to even check things out at all, told Trent Franks that he needed to resign.
Without a doubt, there's more here. We'll just see what happens.
And Franks did not resign until the Ethics Committee voted unanimously to investigate.
Yeah,
and then he immediately said, I'm throwing in the towel.
Didn't you cover Franks when you were a reporter at the Arizona Republic?
Not personally. We were out in the East Valley, and that's not where his district is. But certainly he was known up there. His brother is actually a well-known evangelist and is up in that area. Also, very solid family. I think people are really surprised with this revelation. Like I said, we'll see what happens.
Was Chuck Huckleberry down in your area Tuesday?
He was. He's down there talking.
What was going on?
Well, again, we have got this 130-acre golf course that hasn't been a golf course for 3 or 4 years, and the county has been offered it by the owner, who doesn't want to pay the taxes on it anymore. And the county is looking at taking it, but wants a partner, and the partner would be Green Valley Recreation. So there's been a lot of questions about should Green Valley Recreation be involved in this whole deal? Should the county even be accepting this? What are all the questions that are surrounding a golf course?
And do the people of Green Valley want this?
I think they want it, but they want the questions answered first, which is why we got this personal visit from Chuck Huckleberry last week. And he did answer a lot of questions, but there are still an awful lot that are not answered. And so what he revealed was that they can take possession of it, but if they decide in 3 or 4 months that this is not something they want to do, they can give it back. And so that takes the pressure off of Green Valley Rec from committing to this, because no dollar figures have been put out there yet, and people don't want to commit to anything unless they know what it's going to cost.
Is the proposal to reopen it as a golf course,
No.
or to leave it as essentially open space,
No.
a place, an enormous park?
Walking paths and stuff.
Yeah, walking paths. It's really going to be not an amenitized park as we know them. It would be walking paths, nature trails, that type of thing. There would be, Chuck Huckleberry says that after about 5 years, roughly, you wouldn't really need to be doing a whole lot of maintenance or watering or whatever, because it would be established as it is. But it's not going to be like a traditional park, but it's going to be something that, you know, number one, will make sure that a skyscraper doesn't go up in your backyard when you bought on a golf course.
Oh,
and number two is it's going to be a park for an area that he recognizes has been grossly underserved by Pima County in the area of parks. We need it.
I'm not familiar specifically with it. Are there a bunch of homes that are directly on the golf course?
Yes, and the golf course actually straddles a major street. So we're talking a few pockets there. You know how a golf course is. It's kind of, winds all around, and it's 130 acres. And it's, last week had a developer from Palm Springs call me and say, hey, I've been reading this on your website. I'm interested in opening a spa. Who can I talk to about that land?
Wow.
And I said, well, not the newspaper, but we got to talking, and he wanted far more land than is available. But it did throw me for a loop that somebody was kind of watching this type of stuff and said, yeah, maybe we can open up a spa back there. Yeah, that would sell a lot of papers if he actually came in and tried to do that.
You have a lot of, shut-ins and people who really – it's kind of sad in many ways this time of year, the holiday season, Dan, in Green Valley. And not just Green Valley, but people who are alone around the holidays. It's not – for many of them, not the brightest time of year.
Sure.
I understand you've taken the step, you and your lovely wife, you're going to host an open house on Christmas Day. This is very nice. At the newspaper?
Correct. From 3 to 5 p.m., we're
very
just going to open up the doors. And remember, people in Green Valley are, almost all of them are from someplace else.
Right.
And those who either can't go home, or there's no one to go home to, or their relatives aren't visiting them there, you know what? This gives them an opportunity to dress up and come to a place on Christmas Day if they don't have someplace else. And it is really just for everybody, no strings attached, cookies, cider, come on in, good conversation, and something I've been wanting to do for years. Finally worked out this year. Just going to throw open the doors for a couple of hours and invite people in.
And you're not selling anything at the event.
No, we're not. And you know what? Our kids are older, and it all worked out in our family this year. We were doing the whole Christmas stuff early.
Oh.
And so suddenly Christmas Day was open, and we thought, how odd to actually invite people over on Christmas Day. Let's do it. And so the doors will be open.
I think it's a great idea. Did this come out of a story you did on depression in the area?
This was something we'd been thinking talking about before, but it kind of folded into that story. And we did a story that said, you know what, this is the news has been wrong all these years where they say suicide rates go up around the holidays. They really don't. But people do get depressed and for various reasons attached to memories or whatever. And so we talked to a lot of experts, and the advice is don't make it all about you. Mm-hmm. Go out, volunteer, focus on someone else. Yes, and that's it. And when you do that, then it kind of cures what you're going through.
That's good.
It does fold into this, but again, we just wanted an opportunity to have people over at the paper, and we've got a great room to hold this in, and we're looking forward to it.
All right. Dylan, I have 2 minutes left, and I'm going to kind of put you on the spot.
All right.
So the governor doesn't appoint someone as Trent Franks resigns. The seat stays open till there's a special election, right?
Correct. Okay. It's according to the U.S. Constitution, members of the House of Representatives must be elected. They can't be appointed. So after the resignation is official, the governor has a period of time in which to call an election. So there will be a special primary election sometime this spring, pretty quickly followed by a special election, very quickly followed by the regular primary and the regular general. You know, somebody will pretty much be elected for about 6 months over the summer.
Okay, but now...
Just like we saw down here when Gabby Giffords resigned, we'll end up up there, see two House elections in the same year.
Now, if the senator, Senator McCain, has to resign, say, in the next 6 months due to health, or he feels that this would be the best move, how does that work? Can you now you've got very few
seconds. That's even a little bit more complex, but there can be an appointment to fill a Senate seat. And so there, depending on the timing of it, there might be an appointment and then another concurrent Senate election next year. We would have a McCain's seat possibly open. Jeff Flake's seat will definitely be open. And in the case of McCain's seat, that would be an election to fill it through 2022, the balance of the term. If it's too late to have an election next year, if you can't go through the whole process of having the primary and all of that, somebody could be appointed to fill that seat through 2020, when there would be the next sort of statewide general election. And then that person would be elected just for 2 years because you don't change the length of the term.
No.
That's fixed.
But that could be like a two-year deal.
Yeah, it could be a four-year deal. It could be a two-year deal. Because remember, McCain was elected just last year.
That's right.
So his term, that term, runs through 2022.
All right, Dylan and Dan, thank you both for your service to this program. Both of you have hosted this program sitting in this chair, and I will be asking you again to do it in 2018.
Always glad to do it.
We appreciate it very much, and I hope it's a great holiday season. And Dan, kudos to you and the paper for this open house. Anybody in Green Valley, come out 3 to 5 at the
3
paper.
3 to 5 on Christmas Day.
And people know where the paper's located.
They all do, right by Walmart.
All right.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootool.org/holidaynights.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Monday, the Monday Political Face-Off features commentators Vince Robigo and John Munger, plus our Arizona Water Quarterly Report and year-end tax tips with CPA Michael C. Flowers. Buckmaster, during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI, and our worldwide live listening, all the podcasts in the archive on my website, buckmastershow.com. Weekend Watch with Matt Russell is presented by our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3-hour drive east of Tucson to a totally different environment. It's a lovely environment, a great place to get away for the weekend, explore historic Silver City, do some hiking, camping, just hang out. Great places to eat as well, by the way, in downtown Silver City. The complete list of the places to stay, and there's some really fine places, and the great recreation opportunities, there are many. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch. We're so honored to have this man, Matt Russell, who is the president and CEO of the award-winning Russell Public Communications. He's the food and beverage editor for the Inside Tucson Business, and his reports not only are in Inside Tucson Business, but Tucson Weekly as well, and he's a dedicated foodie and a good friend of our program. Hello, Matt.
Hello, Bill. Nice to talk to you. Happy Friday. Nice to see the weather a little bit more cold these days.
Yeah. We fired up the old the heater last night. That was something else. The cats were shivering. any ideas for a happy hour pick for those that would like to have some fun this afternoon?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, speaking of the temperatures, you know, they finally dropped down to seasonal averages, and the chill in the air kind of makes me think of warm comfort food, and that can start with happy hour today downtown at Oban. Now, along with great prices on fun cocktails, they're heating things up with specials on pork dumplings and short ribs and other small plates, and of course, a bowl of their ramen will really warm your soul, and I think this is some of the best ramen in town. Oban is my pick for happy hour today, Bill, because comfort is what I crave.
Hey, the street fair's here.
Yeah, you can't end another delicious year without making your way down to the winter version of the 4th Avenue Street Fair this weekend. More than 40 local food vendors are going to be serving up their best. Some of the ones that caught my eye were the bratwursts from Blue Banjo Barbecue. The antichucos from Inca's Peruvian, and why not, Bill? The fried octopus balls from Takoyaki. You can't make this up. It's a Tucson tradition. Don't miss the street fair this weekend, all up and down 4th Avenue.
People love feast.
Yeah, and you know what? While many restaurants kind of refresh their menus seasonally, like four times a year, Chef Doug Levy over at Feast, he rotates his every single month. And the December menu features some items that I found fascinating, like they're grilled shrimp that are glazed in a vinegar that he ages in whiskey barrels. Man. And then how about a dish that he calls the Many Moods of Chicken, with a confit chicken leg, a chicken liver pate, and a stuffed chicken breast? It's all on one plate, Bill. It's a December to remember at Feast with this innovative new menu.
What's in the column in Inside Tucson Business, which also is available at Tucson Weekly?
Yeah, you know what? I love the vibrant flavors of Spanish cuisine, Bill. And I sat down with a local chef who has created a new menu that kind of celebrates the tasty traditions of Rioja. Now, curiously, what distinguishes this region from others across the country like Madrid and Barcelona? Well, I tell that story in this week's edition. A lot of fun.
Have a great weekend. Thanks, Matt.
Cheers, Bill.
The Buckmaster Show is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. Original theme music, courtesy Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant. Thank you very much, Tom Fairbanks, my Friday engineer producer, Ray Allen, in that chair. Tom is sitting in Monday through Thursday. The whole team here at KVOI don't have a lot of time, but I do want to do a blanket thank you to everybody at KVOI who wish all of our listeners a great weekend.